Hello, my name is Kelly Minter.
And I'm Regina Pinto.
And together, we wrote a cookbook called A Place at the Table. It's all about cooking and community.
And after many years of cooking and serving, we wanted to write a book together.
We're so excited to bring all that we've learned to you about cooking and community in this podcast. Hey, everybody, we are back for A Place at the Table podcast, and I am here with my dear friend and chef, Regina Pinto. And Regina, I am so excited about today because this is one of...
This is it.
This is the core of the cookbook. Mm-hmm. And really what today, what we're going to be talking about is cooking as a way of serving others. Cooking for others is ministry at its core. And honestly, Regina, nobody does this better than you. Let's talk about today why cooking and why bringing people into our home is so important and really as scriptural as it comes. I mean, the Apostle Paul talks a lot about hospitality. We're going to talk more about this in a future episode, but Jesus spent much of his ministry at meals, around the table. It really goes all the way back to Genesis 1, which we established in our first episode. But let's talk about serving in a way, and the ways that cooking really is about ministry. Talk about some of the ways that you've ministered to people in your home and how cooking has really set the table for that.
I think we talked before about the gifts, and I think that God gave us gifts, but it's not only for ours alone, but to serve him and serve people.
Yes.
And that's what I always think about. If I have that gift, I have to do something with.
Yes.
And if I can minister people around the table, that's what I do, you know, and one of the ways I do, and love on people.
Yeah. And so when people come, like I was just at your house for a church brunch that you put on for all the women in our church, and it was extravagant. I mean, obviously you're a chef, you this is what you do, but it is so disarming. There's something about when we sit, when we walk into someone's home, when we sit down at a table, and when they serve us food, somehow the ice breaks in a way that just doesn't happen in other ways. Why do you think it's such an honor for and such a ministry for people to come into your home?
Well, for me, it's always an honor when somebody asks me to go to their house. I feel like so honored to be part of this because if they are asking me to go to your house, is that's a place that you're more comfortable, that you that's who you are. And I love that. You are in the intimate place that... So it's always so much, it's amazing for me when somebody invites me over. And I think I want to feel the same thing. I want people to come to my house because they know this is me. This is what I can offer to them. And for that meeting specifically, we never knew how many people were coming. And we didn't know if we were going to have space in the house.
Right.
But after they arrived and they start eating
all,
we all sat on the floor. It was the best meeting, you know.
It's just
everybody breaks down into, you know, their...
Just to those comfortable places. You brought up such an important word, and the word is intimacy. And I really believe that that happens inside a home different than it happens even at a restaurant or if you're taking a walk. And there's something about once people begin to eat and they're nourished, really the atmosphere, the comfortability in the room, people begin to open up. And that that's honestly the only reason why this cookbook even exists is because about 13 years ago when I was writing No Other Gods, The Unrivaled Pursuit of Christ, I thought I need women to help me. I, and at the time we were girls, I was in my 20s and I'm like, I need girls to come and help me through this material. So I thought, how can I get them to my house? And the only way I knew was to cook for them and say I would make them dinner. Well, we stayed together for a number of years and we ended up trading homes and one person would make the meal and we'd go to that house and then I'd make the meal and people would come over. And it was the funniest thing because after we would sit and cook together and then eat together, we were our hearts were so tender and suddenly in a place to really talk openly, to dig into the scripture and to really relate and connect to one another. And we couldn't have gotten there without the cooking, without the meal. So when it came time to publish No Other Gods, I was like, hey, Lifeway, do you guys mind if I add some recipes? Because this has been very important to our gatherings. Well, we put those recipes in there and wouldn't you know it, Bible study after Bible study, I'm like scrounging to try to find recipes all these years later. Now I have you, thank the Lord, you can help me. But it is amazing how many women will email me and say, hey, now how much exactly cilantro am I supposed to put in this casserole? And I'm thinking, okay, isn't, aren't we supposed to be learning about 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, you know, or 2nd Corinthians or whatever it might be. But it's because food is so connected to ministry.
And the good thing that came out of that also is that we you have a collection of recipes that is not only yours, but your friend's recipe,
yes,
which is great. They collaborate with the whole thing, and they feel part of, you know, this cookbook also, and
yes,
which is great. And that's what we want to do. We want to make them part of everything. It's just a community thing.
Yeah.
And best recipes and simple recipes.
Simple recipes that you can easily put on. And, you know, my one of my dearest friends, April, she does, and I talk about this in the cookbook, but she does something called April's Breakfast Wagon. We've
that
just kind of
so
named
good.
That for ABW. Because on Sundays, a lot of times she will put on a brunch. And it is so awesome because we come from church, whether it's my own family members and the nieces and nephews and friends, we come from church. She always has plenty of food on hand. It's not necessarily fancy, but it's always just well executed. Mm-hmm. And then there are some of our friends that don't go to church, that aren't believers or followers of Jesus Christ. And the door is always open.
Yeah.
I don't even have to tell April, oh, by the way, I've invited these two or three people. It's just the foundation is that the door is open and there's food at her table. I know that's how it is for you, Regina. I know that is how it is for me. And there is something so, like you said, intimate and warm and comforting about that invitation, whether you claim to follow Jesus or not. When we offer our place at the table, we are really inviting people into that intimate space.
Yes.
Isn't it true, Regina? I mean, how many times have people even come over just for a cup of coffee and then they begin to pour their heart out?
Yeah.
And it's something about that table that sets the stage for the Holy Spirit to move.
Yeah. And I think I see this throughout my life, you know, all the different times that I see the ministry coming out, you know, it's just, now I know why I cook or something. Now I know why I make this. Even when I had my pastry shop, I remember some days I had to close the door and go to the back with somebody that came in that was not in a good place.
Wow.
And we sit down in the back, I close all the machines, everything that I was doing, and talk for hours and hours. And then, okay, now they left and I go back to my kitchen. But I knew that the time spent with people was more important even than they come to eat by, you know, the food, but sometimes they come in a bad place and you see in their faces. And I always ask, are you really okay? And then we go to the back. Let's go to the back. And we sit down in the back. So
putting people in as the most important is so important and vital. And here is a real key. You just brought something up that I want to talk about, is that we live in the world of Pinterest and Instagram and Facebook. And we think sometimes that our homes have to be perfect, that we have to have the most amazing serving ware and vintage, you know, vessels, and that we've got to have all organic ingredients, and that we have to put this amazing Pinterest or Instagram worthy spread in order to have people over. And that is simply not the case. And if we do that, and if we make that the standard, we are never going to open up our house.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to us, to speak to that. How can we get rid of some of those obstacles and make this accessible for the listener to open up their
house? I'm guilty of that in the beginning. When I was young, I always get so nervous before people came to my house. And I want to do the best because they kept saying, oh, she's a chef. Oh, she knows how to make. So I always had this thing, oh my gosh, I have to be perfect. And it's not the truth. Sometimes the simplest dinners that come out of the 1 minute that you think about is the ones that bring more joy to people, and because they know that we are relaxed, we are talking, we are. I just try to prepare everything ahead and be ready for the time the people come in that I'm settled and I know what I'm going to serve and everything is in the oven ready and you don't have to worry about. But
it doesn't have to be fancy.
No fancy.
And
I don't make anything
have to be
fancy
expensive
when people come.
Yeah.
And especially sometimes I try new recipes sometimes when people come because I want to know what the input about it, you know.
what do you think?
Do you think it's good or not? Can I? Now I learn that you don't need to have all your house ready or.
No, it's really just providing a place for people to come.
Yeah.
You know, Regina, so oftentimes we think about inviting over loved ones, family members, friends, relatives, and we should do that. And we know that that is a foundational principle of us loving people and loving those closest to us. But Jesus was really interesting in Luke chapter 14. Luke talks to us about this interesting time where he's at this religious leader's home having a meal. And actually, it's on the Sabbath. And he basically says, like, hey, you know, he wants to heal this person, and he actually just goes ahead and heals them, and the Pharisees are furious because it's the Sabbath, and that would mm-hmm, be to violate that in some way and to work on the Sabbath. And so then Jesus goes into this whole couple different examples that he uses to talk about the importance of the person, that's always going to be the most important.
Yes.
not all the traditions, and I'm going to add this, but not your clean home, not your fancy abilities. It's always about the person. And then he says in verse 12, it says, this is Luke 14, verse 12. Jesus also said to the one who had invited him, "When you give a lunch or a dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors, because they might invite you back and you would be repaid. On the contrary, when you host a banquet, invite those who are poor, maimed, lame or blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." And I do love this because Jesus is saying, hey, don't just open up your home mm-hmm. to those who you like and who you love and who can repay you, but open up your home to those who can give nothing back to you, mm-hmm. to the poor, to those on the fringes of society, to those who may not have a place. And that has been a core value of mine and of my friends mm-hmm. and really of my family, that, hey, if there is someone who needs a place and mm-hmm. needs a warm meal or needs a place to celebrate a holiday or needs a place yes. to come, mm-hmm. whether they claim to be a follower of Jesus, whether they're somebody that's close to us, whether they can repay us back or not, they are welcome. And we yes. are going to set that table for them. And Regina, you do this better than anyone I've ever seen. You are so warm, and it is such an expression of Christ.
Well, I try to teach even my kids since early age that the best thing to do is to open your house for everybody that needs to come in. And we always had a bedroom ready for a missionary or anybody that was coming to town that needed a place to be. And the kids learn so much with
yes.
these people.
Yes.
And they love it. So now they are open to have people in their house all the time because they know the value of yeah. learning from another person.
Yes.
And one of the examples that one time we had an Indian coming from the Amazon jungle.
Wow.
And he was coming to the United States to speak. And I said, okay, come to our house. And when he came through the door, and I was so scared because I said, how am I going to communicate with this man? Because probably they speak a different language.
Even different
the
than
tribe
Portuguese.
Language, yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. But he came and he looked at me with his little eyes. And I said, don't worry, just come in. I made black beans, rice, and mandioc. And he just hugged me and said, I'm home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Then I felt like, yes, I did what I supposed to do.
Yeah.
That's what he needed, some encouragement that he
yes.
was in a place that he was safe
yes.
and he could eat well, mm-hmm. whatever he is used to eat.
Right.
But and the kids
saw
that.
You spoke his language through food.
Yeah,
yes.
And the kids saw that. And they said, Mom, that was the most cutest thing to see this man so humble and so thankful to have
yes.
black beans, rice, and flour. And that's what he is used to.
Yes, absolutely.
That nobody
you make
could
a
make.
Connection yeah. there. And I think it's also so sweet when we pull out different types of serving ware that are special to us, and it doesn't have to be
mm-hmm.
expensive,
mm-hmm.
but something that our grandmother passed down
yes,
to us,
uh-huh.
or my mom gave me a salad bowl that was my grandparents when they lived in Brazil.
Uh-huh.
And so sometimes I will serve from that, and I will tell the people at my
the
table,
story.
Like, yeah, this is for my grandparents. And so think about, so somebody who's over that maybe doesn't know me very well, that's just special. And the same goes when mm-hmm. I'm at other people's home and they bring out those pieces. You're basically saying, hey, you are welcome into the family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are so many different feasts that that the Israelites were commanded and the Jews were commanded to keep. And it was always in connection with God's promises and mm-hmm. His word and His commands. And then we get into the New Testament and Jesus is ministering around meals where He restores Peter
yeah.
over fish that Jesus Himself made. I mean, think about sitting down to breakfast and Jesus he was the one that like cooked it. And I'm just trying to like picture this, but instead of just saying to Peter, hey, Peter, you come over here. Mm-hmm. I want to let you know I've forgiven you and we're good. No, he already had fish cooking on this fire and a coal fire, which that's a whole other thing we can talk about later.
Yeah.
But, and he brings Peter and he restores him over a meal. I do believe that there is something sacred and transcendent about the meal,
mm-hmm.
not the meal itself. That doesn't have the power, but the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
you know, in that space, can anoint those offerings. And I really want to see us step up in this way and serve. And it is, I think the younger generation too, they are coming back to this. Mm-hmm. They are realizing.
Oh, I see more and more.
Yes. Yeah. Those in their 20s, early 30s, they're wanting to garden. Mm-hmm. They're wanting to make food from scratch. They're wanting to be at in people's homes because we've lived so untethered. And this is so tethering for people. And it's a ministry to those who do know Jesus, and it is a ministry to those who do not. And that's why, I mean, I wish you could see, I have the biggest smile on my face right now, because this is what excites me so much. And I do think that we really hinder ourselves when we think it has to be perfect, mm-hmm. and we think our home has to be perfect, and we think we have to do something really fancy. And I will say this too, delegating is not the worst thing in the world. And I know, Regina, you never do this because
I'm learning now in my old age.
You never let me bring anything, but it is so helpful. If I'm making the pasta and I've got the bread, or if I say, hey, does anybody mind just bringing a salad? Yes. Or, hey, it would be great if somebody could bring a simple dessert. It just letting people share the load a little bit. And then we come together and we can share in this community. And I just love seeing the barriers break down. Mm-hmm. There is something that happens that is softening to people's hearts when they sit around a table.
I think one thing that brings smiles to my face and yours too is when we travel to the Amazon.
Yes, talk about that conference. For a minute with Justice and Mercy International. Yes,
we have this outside kitchen, and I work in the kitchen. Love to do that every year.
Yes, so we have 130 pastors and wives that minister in obscurity, and
not
most
easy
of them
to make gourmet food over there. You don't do it,
and they don't have anything, and they come to our conference, and we do this with JMI, Justice and Mercy International. We're actually doing two of these a year now, and Regina and I get to travel year after year after year after year. Mm-hmm. And isn't it so true, Regina, that those wives and those husbands, I mean, especially the wives, because in that culture too, the husbands are not doing the cooking. The wives are doing the cooking.
Yeah.
And they never, and I can say, I think emphatically, never have a meal served to them.
Never.
And those men and women, that is like the highlight. I'm like, okay, but you did love my teaching on Joseph, right?
Yeah. I mean,
right? No, we loved the passion fruit mousse, or we loved the tombaki, you know, certain type of fish.
Yeah, we put the recipes in the book, all the recipes from that
week.
It's amazing how they love to be at lunchtime, and dinner time is just a happy time for them.
Yes.
And they come and they sit down and we talk, and you are right, the barriers come down.
Yes.
And we are talking, we all try to mingle with different groups, and the Lord just worked through them because they see that we are sitting together in the same, with the same plate, the same food, the same.
Yes.
But we just, we enjoy time together during the time of food.
It is such a blessing. Okay,
a blessing.
So Regina, for those who are out there and they're like, okay, I really do want to have people over, but I have to say, it feels a little overwhelming. We've got some recipes from our cookbook, A Place at the Table, where you can grab some soups. I mean, listen, I cannot tell you how many times I've had people over for dinner, and all I've had is a soup and a big, long thing of bread. Yeah. And so, you know, you can put a soup together, and you can make the soup the day before.
Yeah.
You can make it the week before and put it in the freezer. Things like a bolognese sauce, like a red sauce, things that you can even create ahead of time and either put in the freezer or put in the refrigerator and then pull out our
charcuterie board. Then you think about, that just needs to be fancy cheeses. And No. You can have fruit and some cheese and some spread that you make at home, and jam and
honey nuts.
I know. It's amazing. You just bring, and it's easy.
Very simple to pull together.
Yeah, finger food. And we love that. We do in our meetings all the time. Kelly and I, we always do those.
Yes, and as long as you just have some good ingredients that we try to keep on hand. We talked about it in a past episode, but just keeping some, you know, decent meats, some grains, some beans, some vegetables, some fruits that are seasonal. All of that can go a long way, and you can actually pull together something really quickly. So remember, I would even just challenge you, hey, okay, who can you have over in the next 30 days?
30 days, yeah.
Who just came to
Let's
your mind?
Let's do that and
see. What names, what faces just came to your mind in the next 30 days, right now, commit, invite them over, and do something simple. And you can even do the trick that I use. If your house isn't perfect, I hate to admit this, but I take everything that's out of place and I throw it into, yes, I shove it. I mean, you do not want to open a door in my house. Yeah. Well, yeah. What you see is usually pretty tidy. As long as you got your bathrooms and your kitchen and space, you're fine. And then shove everything else and then just open up the door. And also pray beforehand. I just had a dinner party for a birthday party for a friend of mine the other day. He's going through a hard time. And as I was putting it together, I just stopped and I prayed with my other friend who was helping me. And I just asked the Lord, Lord, use this meal to be a blessing. Use this to minister. Lord, allow our conversation to bring comfort and encouragement to our friend and to know that she celebrated, and let it bring glory to you. And also, Lord Jesus, be present in our midst. Yeah. And where you really offer up your home and the meal and the space as an offering to the Lord, and let the Holy Spirit do his work. Yeah. So that's what we're going to do. You're going to commit over the next 30 days to have someone to your house. We will see you back here next time at A Place at the Table.